Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Thank you. So I said, Daddy, why are they screaming? Why are the faces of some of them beaming? Why is he dressed in that bright purple robe? I'll bet that clock hurts him more than he shows. Daddy, please, can you do something? He looks as though he's gonna cry. You said he was stronger than all of those guys. Daddy, please tell me why. Why does everyone want him to die? Later that day, the sky grew cloudy, and Daddy said I should go inside. Somehow he knew things would get stormy, or was he right? But I could not keep from wondering if there was something he had to hide. So after he left, I had to find out. I was not afraid of getting lost. So I followed the crowds to a hill where I knew men had been killed. And I heard a voice come from the cross. And it said, why are they casting their lots for my
It's not how we're used to seeing our pastors, preachers, friends, and family. But I can tell you something. I was born a sinner. I've earned this in my life. I've done things that hurt people. I've done things against God. I'm a sinner raised by sinners. Dad, are you here to get a witness? Amen. Of course, he wasn't alone. We so often want to duck the responsibility of what we've done and who we are. But can I tell you something? We ought to try to stop ducking it. We ought to come to the point where we embrace who we are. We ought to come to the point where we accept what we've done. It's not an easy process, and I know as a young man I struggled with it, and I sometimes still struggle real hard. But I'm going to tell you, there was a time when I was given a copy of the Word of God. And from that time on, my life began to change because I began to learn things. And even though I sat in my own kind of prison and my own kind of darkness where I felt like my life had no hope, y'all didn't know me then, but that's part of my testimony. When I get so obsessed, when the things that had me chained were as real and as unbreakable as these chains. And it didn't matter how I'd cry, and it didn't matter who I reached out to, because it just didn't matter. And everything in my life, matter of fact, started to go under that same file. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you can't sleep unless you drink a whole lot. It doesn't matter if you don't feel fulfilled until you've been with somebody or somebody's a whole lot. It just didn't matter anymore. None of that stuff seemed to continue to make sense to me anymore. And I remember being in a dark place and thinking that I've lived all that I needed to live, and that the world would be better without me. It wasn't that people didn't love me. It was that I didn't love me. I didn't know any reason why anybody else would love me. And I had no reason to go on. And I was for real living in a jail, in a dark place. But somebody gave me a copy of the Word of God. I started reading the Bible to show that idiot that it was full of contradictions, it was stupid and dumb, just like all the church people that came and read it all the time. Nothing seemed dumber to me than church. I would go and they'd say, stand up, but I would still be sitting down. They'd say, kneel, but I'd be standing up. They would say, blessed art thou, and I would say, thanks, dude. That's not the response in any church. I never felt like I belonged. It didn't make any sense. So I figured I could look at this old manuscript, and it'd be easy. It'd be easy to find the contradictions. It'd be easy to find the errors. It'd be easy to find the mistakes. But guess what happened when I started looking at this? What happened? Well, some things started to change. I want to read you a story about a dude. I don't know how much he changed. It's a story when Jesus was on trial. The governor at the time named Pilate gave him a choice, and they said, we can release Jesus to you, or we can release this other dude. I want to read you his story for a moment. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to them one prisoner whom they wished. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they handed him over because of envy. Now, while he was sitting there in the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is the Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this innocent person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And then he released Barabbas. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I pray that in some way, shape, form, through what's been sung, what's being shared, that you would have your way, that we would know that the resurrected Jesus Christ is alive today and doing work in the hearts of sinful people like me. Father, we love you and we give you all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. That last verse said, "Then they released Barabbas." And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. I want you to get that picture in your mind. The just, who is Jesus, the righteous, given for the unjust, given for the unrighteous. Do y'all see that picture? The just for the unjust. You know, in the book of Romans in chapter 3, that's exactly what he's going to say when he's explaining the theology of the cross. He's going to say, it was the just given for the unjust. Let me tell you, I don't know how Barabbas felt, but I imagine that he was aware of those events that happened so long ago. Because when they took Jesus, they brought him in and they beat him. They beat him like they were so angry at him, like they hated him, and they spit on him, and they punched him in his face, and they pulled out his beard, and they put a crown of thorns on his head, and they whipped him and whipped him and whipped him. I can't even tell you how many times, 40 minus one, but if I kept doing that, it would take all service. They continued to beat him until he died. And he died. He died for your sin, and he died for my sin. And then they took him from the cross. Brave disciples back in the day took him, and they buried him. And they put him in that tomb, and they sealed it up, and they walked away. I wonder if Barabbas ever knew. I wonder if he ever knew that his freedom cost the life of the just one. I wonder if he ever came to the point where he was like, "Man, that's wild. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that I would have went free, guilty of sin? Just flat out knowing how wrong I am, guilty as all get out. Who would have thought that I went free and they would have killed that dude? Woo, I'm having a party tonight." That's what he was thinking Friday. "I am out. I'm calling my boys up on that first century phone," which is like this. "Hey, I'm out, y'all. Grab the beer and the wine and whatever other kind of dope we got, because we're throwing down tonight because I'm free. Woo!" They find it, man, they killed that dude. You know what I think Barabbas might have thought at first? Well, it's because that dude was a sucker. Nice guys finish last. That's what my mama always taught me. What a nice mama. Then Saturday, he's still partying. Whew, he's catching up. figuring out what's been going on, looking for the next insurrection to get involved in, any other rebellions going on, any other mutinies, any kind of riots. Let's start a riot. That's what he wanted to do. Then Sunday come around. I wonder if when Sunday came around, he began to change his tune any. Because when Sunday came around, something else happened. News got back to even him that the one who took his place on Friday and took his death on Friday, that now on Sunday he was rose from the dead. Now on Sunday he was alive again. So I wonder now what tune Barabbas was thinking. I wonder if he was thinking this. Oh man, that one who took my place. I wonder if I'm ever going to have to face him. If he's alive, I wonder if I'm ever going to have to deal with him. Now that he's alive, I wonder if I'm going to have to look eyeball to eyeball with the one who took my place on the cross. I don't know what Barabbas did. I have no idea. I don't know if he got saved. I don't know if he got killed. I don't know what he got, if he got anything. But you know, as I continued to read the Bible, and I realized that I was in the same boat as Barabbas, that I'm the unjust, that I'm the one that Jesus died for too, that my voice might as well have been one of those voices in the crowd that cried out, crucify him, that I should have died. It was my sin that nailed him there. It was my cross that he had to bear. There's no greater love than what God's given us. And you know something I knew about me from reading this word? There was going to be a time when I was going to have to face him. There was going to be a time when I was going to have to face the one who took my place on the cross. Because I've come to believe that he's not dead, that he rose from the dead, and that he's alive forevermore. And because he's alive forevermore, I'm going to have to see him. And when I see him, I want him to know that I thank him and that I believe in him and that I trust him. And you know what? I came to believe. And I came to get saved. And I heard him tell me that I should follow him. And so I did. I decided I was going to follow Jesus. And you know, he calls me. He calls me to follow him. He calls me to walk with him. And he offers me so much. But it starts when he says, I'm calling you to me. And I'm calling you to die to you. And if I really die right now, take care of my children and my wife. This thing sits in front of our church all the time. A lot of times we don't know what in the world it is. It's a baptism. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus calls us to follow him, he calls us to come and die to a way of life. He calls us to come and die to the way of our self-willed life. He tells us to come and die to that old way. He calls us out of that prison, and he says, I've got something new for you. So even when we do baptisms in the way that we do them, they symbolize us dying to an old way of life and being buried. But then being raised to a new way, it'll help me get out. Jesus gives us freedom. It's not baptism. Baptism's a symbol of the fact that I've identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, it forever changes me. It changes the direction I'm going to and going through. And I'm going to tell you something. When he saves you, he don't stop, because there's other stuff that needs to happen. These clothes aren't appropriate for me anymore. It's not mine. I do have pants on. No trigger warning necessary. Amen. I would be the easiest prisoner to keep up because all you have to do is put me in one of these things, I'd be trapped. I would never be able to get out. But the things that he does for us, he does forevermore. He changes who we are. He gives us new life in his name. And the blessings don't stop there. He brings other people in to help you. He takes off the old. Sit it right there, Michael. Thank you, buddy. And he starts putting on the new. The blessings that we have as Christians come directly from what Christ has done for us. It's not from anything else. It's not from all the fancy discipleship things. It's not from any other thing. It's from what Christ has done for us. If I can get this shirt on in front of you, you'll witness the miracle of God. But the tomb that we don't think a whole lot about, it's empty, isn't it? Jesus isn't in it anymore, is it? But can I tell you something he does? It's where he pulls piles and piles and piles of blessings. That's where we get every good thing. That's where we get the new character. That's where we get our hope. That's where we get our wisdom. He pours it out through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, when Christ died for you and you know it and you believe it and you accept it, every blessing in God is yours in Christ. And we become the richest people on the planet. Do y'all understand it? Y'all smell clear? Clear as a bell. Now, I don't know how good I'm going to get into this, but I want y'all to get the picture right. That Christ has made us new. Even our shoes. I got new soles. It all comes through him. But can I tell you something? It doesn't stop there. Because Jesus takes all that dirty junk and he puts it back in there. And it's not over. That's what stays in the tomb. That old way. That old way of me looking at God. That old way of God looking at me. That old way of being. That old way of thinking. That don't mean that I don't struggle. Matter of fact, that's where I want to go to right now. Because I wonder how many Christians are still walking around in prison clothes. I wonder how many Christians still hang out by the tomb wanting to get back in there and say, oh no, I deserve what I got. I deserve what's coming to me. And we walk around like condemned men and women. We're condemning ourselves, the devil accusing us, and we're cooperating with him on the wrong side instead of saying, Lord, I recognize all that Christ did for me, and although I'm not a perfect representation, I sure want to grow into it, and I want to leave this tomb behind. I want to leave the things that are in there, and I know that I've passed through. The Bible says from death to life. In Jesus' name, I've passed through. So now, I wonder where you are. I wonder with you. Are you here today? And you would say, I understand the darkness and the hopelessness of not knowing Christ or not being sure about knowing Christ. You know what I found out? If you're not sure that you know Christ, it's about as bad as not knowing. Because you're not living in the victory. You're not celebrating. You're not understanding. And my tie, there it is. It's like my tie just ain't going to work. You're not living the life you've been called to live if you're not sure. But can I tell you, if you'll come to him and you'll either dedicate your life to him for the first time or you'll say, I need to make it sure, the blessings of God are waiting to pour out on you in Christ. And you know what? They're blessings that won't ever be taken away from you. I wish I was one of them dudes, because I wish I was one of those millionaire yacht, airplane, flying preacher dudes that I could tell you about all the money is going to come your way, because if it came your way, it'd come my way too, amen? But I'm a prosperity preacher of the highest order, because I believe when you give your soul to Jesus Christ, you prosper in a way that you can't ever lose. Not in a stock market crash, not in a house fire, not in a tornado, not in a divorce, not in addiction, not in any way. I believe when you belong to Christ, you belong to Him forever, and that there is a mansion on Golden Street waiting for you to occupy, because the Lord our God said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to come back and I'm going to bring you to be with me where I am." That's the riches. That's the prosperity that I want. That's the prosperity I got in Christ. I don't know about you. Now is the time for you. You evaluate. Have you followed Him into the box? Have you heard Him say, "Come on, follow me"? And you said, "Yes, Lord, I will." Have you walked away from the box, knowing that it's your sin in there? You are no longer a condemned sinner. You're a sinner saved by grace. You're a child of God. You're a saint, is what the Bible calls somebody set apart, not because of your goodness, but because of His. Have you come to firmly believe that Jesus Christ is all that you need to be saved for now and forevermore? There's nothing else coming. There's no one else coming. He's our only option. He's our only hope. Have you ever come and said, "I'm yours, I'm in, I surrender, take me, save me"? And oh, Christian, can you be done with the guilt? Jesus Christ is our guilt offering. He died for our guilt, our shame, our sin, our malicious, done it again sin after you said you wouldn't do it again. He died for all of it. We need to start living it free, blessed, joyful in the Lord. That's our invitation. I'm going to ask the band if they'll come up now. This is your invitation to do business with God. I know it's Easter, and I know we're formal. I even went and formalized. I didn't tuck my shirt in. Won't even notice if you're not in the first three rows, and if I duck a little. Don't let any kind of religious formality rob you of what God would have you to do between you and Him. Don't let any kind of relational anything, like I'm sitting next to my friends and they'll think I'm weird. Newsflash, your friends already know you're weird, so just go ahead and do business with God. Hey, I've talked things and I've made people think that I don't care about God and make me look like a hypocrite. They already know you're a hypocrite. Don't let that stop you from getting saved or rededicating your life. Maybe you think they all thought I had my act together and I looked good on the outside, but inside I've crumbled, and it's time for me to say, "Help! Help! Jesus, I believe you. If no one else can help me," and I'm asking, I'm calling in that card right now, I'm asking for your help. Maybe that's you. But I'm going to tell you, there ain't no help outside of Him, not with God. There's no way to stand before God. There's no way of not being afraid of that day when you're going to look eyeball to eyeball with the one who took your place on the cross. We all got to look there. We're all going to see the eyes of that man. And what are you going to say? You're going to say, "Well, I just never trusted you because all the people in church are hypocrites." You think He's going to care? He's going to say, oh, that's a good reason for dishonoring and not believing in me. Oh, that's fine. You get a pass. Come on into my house." You think the Father? You think you'll have an appeal to the Father? If you deny the Son, do you think there's a court of appeal with the high judge of heaven? Let me tell you why I dishonored your Son. When you go look, and the advocate, the only one who would have been on your side is the Son, because He is our only advocate in the courtroom of heaven. And if you tell, "I want to stand without counsel," that's your bad. That's on you. But He says, "I will provide all you need." If you're uncomfortable about the day, you got to look Him in the eye and tell them what you've done. If you're a child of God and you still say, oh my goodness, I don't know. I've been so scared to speak out about Jesus. I've been so scared to live for him. I've been so hesitant to take the blessings that flow from what he's done. Make it right. Right now is your time. I'm going to pray for us, and they're going to lead. During this song, if you need to respond to God, you just do it. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you that your love wasn't just in word. It wasn't in secret. You died publicly for us. You came out and took our sin, the just one for the unjust ones. And Father, may no one in this place ever forsake what you've done for us. Father, there's no reason for anyone here to be a holdout from you. They're going to have to look in your eyes. Help them, Lord. And if there's any child of yours who remains bound, they're still handcuffed, they're still stuck, Father, won't you save them? Won't you save them from that? Won't you rescue them out of that place and move them away from the tomb and into the life? You didn't come but to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the thief does. You came to give life and to give it more abundant. Lord, we love you, and we ask that you move freely in your resurrection power today. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. It's on. Here we go. The Bible says there's no name given under heaven by which we must be saved except for the name of Jesus. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee shall and every tongue shall that Jesus Christ is to the glory of God. I'm just telling you, it's just awesome. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward to take up the morning offering. And as they do, I'm going to pray for us. But y'all, don't forget that God gave the just one for the unjust ones. And it's through Him that we live blessed and prosperous and free and heaven bound. And without Him, we live in the dark places that we know all too well. And we need all the help we can get. Amen. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this offering. And I pray that as we give it, you receive it, and it would be a blessing to us to give, and it would be a praise to you, recognizing you as our source. And we love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hasn't it been good to be in the house of God today? God's good. He ain't going to stop being good, and His invitation's always open. He's always going to be the just one. We're always going to be the ones who need Him. Don't ever forget it. Let Him do what He wants to do in your life. Thank you for letting me be your pastor, and I love you, and have a wonderful, happy Easter. Father God, as we go, I pray You'd bless us. Bless us with Your presence, Your Spirit. Your Word says, I want to know Christ in the power of His resurrection. And I pray that, Father, that we would know Him that way, that we would know You through that living power, that we might live a life pleasing to You in everything. Lord, we love You. We give You all the praise. And we do it in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, Amen. Ready? Break.